Welcome to the Speak Pact Podcast, where high-performing speakers and the producers who hire them merge to give you the insider secrets to the lucrative speaking industry. Antoniette Rose, your podcast host and celebrated speaker agent, unveils insider success strategies. Discover a nexus of thought leaders and bookers, maximizing your potential in each and every episode. Your ticket to ultimate speaking success begins right here. Catch the transformative insights waiting for you on the Speak Pact Podcast, hosted by the industry powerhouse herself, Antoniette Rose.
Welcome, welcome back to Speak Pact. We are thrilled that you are here with us today. I have another spectacular treat for you. This is coming from Rain Bennett. We are featuring him for his skills in audience connection. He is a master. You can see his top 2% podcast at the Storytelling Lab. Do I have that right? The Storytelling Lab, fabulous, fabulous podcast. Absolutely love the guests that you have on and the way that you cover the whole aspects of storytelling, right? And so tell me a little bit, why, Rain, is storytelling something that you honed into? Mm-hmm. And you obviously have an ability to connect with an audience to have grown your podcast out of over 3 million at my last check, podcasts out there that you've really ranked at a high level.
Well, I appreciate the kind words so much. And it's part of my job as I see it to really, I mean, we call it the Storytelling Lab because it peels back the curtain, and shows what's going on behind the scenes with the art and science of storytelling. And really the way I approach it, which I think will be most beneficial for your audience, is that it's not a one size fits all. But you see that all the time is these, gurus, pushing certain formulas, right? Even the best of the best, the hero's journey, these classic storytelling formulas that we all know and have heard of, doesn't mean that's going to work for every single person, every single personality. Well, what I want to talk about today and what I help people with is finding your unique voice that has been determined by your unique story. And so that's so important. And that's why I have a whole host of different kinds of storytellers, writers, filmmakers, marketers, competitive storytellers, because what works for one person might not work for someone else. Why? Because we're all different. So what brought me there was the question that you asked. Well, I've been a filmmaker. That's what I do as my career for over 20 years now. I've always been a writer as well. And now I do that professionally. But it's really one of those situations, Antoniette, where you find a way to turn your pain into power through your journey. So I am not a very, very technical filmmaker or a very technical person. I'm more of the big picture visionary, and I'm just not that good at the technical things. And so for a long time in my career, that caused a lot of what we might call imposter syndrome, or that voice of doubt in the back of your head, because the people that my peers are amazing cinematographers and great visual storytellers. And I know a little bit. I shot my first, documentary, but I'm not as good as them in that capacity. They were put on this earth to be cinematographers, right? So I felt a lot of that ego and insecurity through that. And in my first film that I made, which I did all by myself, meaning I shot it all, I edited it all, et cetera, I really learned the philosophy that I subscribe to now and that I help people with, which is story first, production value second. You can have the most beautiful, video, the perfect sound, great execution from a technical standpoint. And if you don't have a message or a story that anyone cares about, that doesn't matter. However, the flip side is if you've got a really compelling story with great characters that we resonate with and relate to, then the audience will be forgivable when it comes to it being a little rough around the edges, which my film was. And so at first it became just the only way I could go about it. And then when I came out of that and we sold the film for global distribution, I started thinking about it like, wow, this is the way I want to tell stories. Then I started thinking further about who I could help with this philosophy, with this mindset, with this strategy. And at that time, it was 2016 or 17. So everybody had become content creators at that point, or you had to keep up. So all the small businesses, all the nonprofits, all the solopreneurs, well, guess what? Almost none of them were trained videographers or filmmakers or writers, right? So they were tasked with the same thing that I was, trying to tell a great story that connects with my audience when you don't have a lot of experience, money or resources, or technical know-how. So that's how I help people, is understanding how to leverage the power, and it is full of power, the power of the story. And then as you go on and get better, you add tools to the toolbox. And that's where we're at today.
Add tool, and not the other way around, right? So often we're so caught up in getting all the tools right, buying this and that. Connection is king.
Listen, 100%, we always prioritize the tools, and we go out and get all the fancy gadgets and gadgets, and we don't know how to use them. A good carpenter can take whatever you give them, a handsaw and a hammer, and they can build something out of it, right? So you learn the skill first, and then you get tools that help you do it more effectively and more efficiently. But if you have no idea what you're doing and you go out and get the best power tools, the best construction tools on the planet, it doesn't mean you're going to be able to build a perfect house at all, right? Or anything that resembles that. You have to understand it conceptually first.
Had I only heard you, Rain, 10 years ago, right. Money that would be in the bank, right? And just the time, the forwardness that I would already have, because so much angst and energy and yes, money went into buying this or that, that in the end, I really didn't need, or it didn't really fit. What I really needed was clarity and connection. And I think with that, right, like you going back to your carpenter, a carpenter who clearly knows how to build the thing that he wants to build. He doesn't need all the fancy tools, no. Just needs the basics.
And you know what else this just made me think of? It's like the carpenter chooses the tools that he or she needs for the job. And often we go get the tool that we see someone else have because we think that's what we're supposed to have. And we don't go through the process of like, yeah, but what's the camera that is right for this job? That's why great directors of photography, or cinematographers as they're also known, many of them they might own a basic package just so they could do quick work, but most of them rent the right rig, the right camera rig for the job, because it doesn't make sense for them. They can't own every camera. And they'll usually have a basic package, but often they'll use whatever camera makes sense. So that's part of the process, which we all often overlook and neglect, is like, you haven't even gone through and figured out if this makes sense for you. So it may be right for you to get that tool and spend that money, but it may not. And you'll never know unless you ask yourselves the question, well, what does this tool do that this one doesn't? And what does this project require in a tool? Like, this is all part of it that makes it so much easier, but we want the quick fix. We want to get what our peer does, who did such a great job on that movie. We want to use that camera because clearly it was the tool, right? Not the hand that holds it. Well, that's wrong. It's always the hand that holds it.
This is a cornerstone concept, and we didn't even talk about this, and I'm really glad you went in this direction, Rain, because it is truly, if you're looking to scale, and those who listen to this show, Speak Pact, they are either emerging speakers or established speakers looking to go to the next level, right? And everybody is quick to sell you their program, their tool, their thing. You have to have this, right, in order to get to that next level. But you're talking more about focus on connecting, maybe not only to your listeners, your audience, but also connect to yourself. Like, where are you? What do you really need for that next step? I have a cabinet full of thousands of dollars worth of high-end equipment. Some of it's still in the box. I will probably never utilize it, but to even talk about the trainings that got me diverted in this direction, diverted in that direction, that was not only a misuse of my monetary resources, but also my energy, the time, how much further, faster those speakers can be if they can just get this concept that you're talking about right here.
It's all about connecting with yourself. And here's the crux of it. There is nothing, in my opinion, that you, any person uniquely owns in this world or can uniquely own other than their story. But everybody possesses that uniquely. No one else can have your story. You can do the same exact thing. You can come from the same exact place, right? Everything else can be the same on paper, but your lived experiences are not the same as anyone else's in the world. It just is not possible. And within that, if you dig into that, you will find your path and the way you came about it and the way you view the world and your work in the world unlike anybody else. But we don't do that. We look at what this person is doing and we try to copycat and emulate. And I'm not saying don't steal. Success does leave clues. But we are leaving so much on the table when we don't leverage the one sole thing that we have that nobody on this planet can be better than us at. And I know that's kind of cliche, like nobody can be you better than you, but it's so true. But I specifically help people get there through peeling back the layers of the, you know, metaphorical onion on their story to realize, like, what happened along the line that made you go into filmmaking, Rain? Like, what and why that philosophy? You know, because when I talk about I'm not a technical person, that applies to every aspect of my life, right? I'm looking out at my yard right now. I love mowing the yard. I hate doing the trimming. I hate doing the small little details. In filmmaking, I hate editing. It's meticulous. It's not me. It's not who I am. So I will never be great at that, right? And if I try to be someone who is, that's why I always fail. So connecting with yourself, it is absolutely the first step that you need to take. And often we don't. And there's a, you know, we take the courses, we buy the tools, all these things you were just talking about. And so much can be learned by just spending time with ourselves and taking action. Like I work and talk with a lot of screenwriters. And you've got two camps. You've got the screenwriting teachers, the gurus, who tell you, you need to follow this formula, you need to buy my book, you need to sign up for my course. And then you have this actual working screenwriters who all say the same thing, which is, you just have to write. You just have to sit down and write. And you get better, but more importantly, you find your voice. Because if we all write with the ABC formula of screenwriting, then every movie is going to sound the same. But that's not how it happens.
Yes.
You know, there is learning and doing, and we get better by both of them. But you can sit there and learn all day long and never get better. And you don't have to study at all to just start taking action. We're talking to speakers, right? You have to get out there and find your voice. What should you be talking about? What do you view differently in your space than anyone else?
Brilliant. I absolutely resonate with your methodology. And it's a bit outside of the box. It's not what we're being led into.
No, we want formulas. We want structures. We want things that are easy to can and sell, right? And the reality is it's hard. It's work. And you have to listen and learn. And it's not easy.
Yes. That's the way. I love that you said success leaves clues. So yes, we want to learn from other people's success. But if we turn off our own inner hearing, right, of who we authentically are. I don't like to trim. I love to do the big picture, right? That's who Rain is. When you turn off the ability to hear that about yourself and own that about yourself, then you're also turning off that direct route to success. Formulas are a great sort of starting place. But when we hang our hats on that, I think that's where we really get in trouble. I once had my assistant tally up like how much I've paid for all the mentors in the last 5 years. I could have bought a house. I'm just saying. I could have bought a house.
It adds up.
But it wasn't until, and I'm not saying, there was a lot of value that came out of pieces of that. But it honestly, when I was sitting alone in my quiet time in the morning, when I finally realized something, you know, really showed me, you know, Antonia, you are dancing to this person's dance and you're dancing to this person's dance. You've lost sight of your best path forward. I put it all aside, which meant I forfeited actually some significant dollars in doing that because some of these mentors had a finite number of time for their $25,000 or whatever they were. But I put it all aside. And do you know, Rain, within that week, my business exploded. And it's only exploded since then because I stopped dancing to every other person's dance, right? Their formula is perfect for them, but not necessarily for me. And I started allowing myself to hear, who am I? What is my ecosystem? What are my non-negotiables? Who do I really reach? Who resonates with me and my story and my journey? You're absolutely right. Somebody could have all of my ITP. They can have my exact story, but they're never going to connect the way that I connect. And that's true for each speaker that's listening to this show. Nobody can ever step into their shoes. Somebody could steal all of their everything, right? But they can never connect the way that they connect. And I so love that you brought this to the table.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about you're a little humble. You're not just a filmmaker. You are an award-winning filmmaker. So are you still creating films? Are you fully immersed in what you're doing now with your podcast and consulting and that kind of thing? And tell me a little bit about Capture Fully. Who is that for?
Sure. Yes, I'm still making films personally and professionally. So my background is in documentary filmmaking. I have a current feature film that I'm working on now. Lots of shorter documentaries for clients, but I am in the middle of transitioning to writing my first narrative film. So I just finished my first screenplay. I just started my second one this week. That's something that's stories that have been in my head and in my heart for many years that I am ready to get out. The podcast has been doing great over the past year or so. I've had it since the 2019 or so. So about 4 or 5 years now. And I'm really spending a lot of time there, as well as the startup that I co-founded, which you mentioned, Capture Fully. That's the first time I've been a part of a real team. I've been a solopreneur. I mean, I have teams for projects, but building a product with a team, this is the first time I've been a solopreneur for my whole career, so for 20 years. And this is a company that a platform that enables people to capture and share their family stories. Now, I told you that I've been a documentary filmmaker for, you know, since 2004, 2005. And I've done over 1,000 interviews in those 20 years. And working almost exclusively in documentary form, I've wholeheartedly realized the power of true stories of real people. And that power lies within its ability to impact the viewer or the listener or the audience. Okay. Because many of us think, oh, well, my story's not powerful. I don't have anything to worry. Yeah, you do. It just depends on who would resonate with it. And you used that word just a moment ago, like finding your audience. It's the same thing. So your family, your descendants, your children, your grandchildren are 100% a group of people that typically would feel the power of your story because it is directly tied to their story, to their identity, right? So we don't realize that who we have become is often so influenced by who we come from. So hearing your grandmother tell the story about when she grew up and even talking about her parents and grandparents, we are spanning 4 or 5 generations of family sometimes. And listen, since the beginning of humanity, there's been a tribal storyteller to do this, to pass these legacies and these stories down and lessons to the future generations. That's effectively what we're trying to be. So that's something I'm incredibly passionate about and something that we've just started. And so we're launching later this year. And the test videos that we've been doing are incredibly, incredibly profound. I mean, we often let life go by and we don't ask our parents or grandparents these questions about when they were kids or, you know, what dreams they had or what were the moments that really shaped their lives. Well, who are the people that really shaped their lives? It's incredible to hear.
Well, and talk about a first-hand university in the power of storytelling, right? Is hearing those stories from your own family, seeing the impact that it has on you, and actually linking to them in a profound way, maybe even utilizing those stories. Okay, I'm gonna look up Capture Fully. Can I share this really quick?
Yeah.
So, talk about family stories. I've wanted to write a screenplay for a long time. I have no time. I have absolutely no idea how to even go about doing this. But it's going on probably a little over 10 years ago now. I moved my mom from Southern California to Texas because cognitively she was declining. And so it's this beautiful tapestry of this amazing Italian feisty woman, right, who is kind of, you know, losing her ability to reason, and the journey from California to Texas. I'm thinking Big Fat Greek Wedding feel, because it was just the first one. It was just a hilarious journey from her getting out of the truck. My poor son, he's the one that physically drove her, getting her jumping out of the car in the middle of a busy intersection to direct traffic. And my son in this big truck trying to get her back into the car, and losing the cat in the hotel, and all the things. But just that beautiful journey of this gorgeous, amazing icon in our family. Mm-hmm. And in a fun and funny way, but also in kind of a sad way, seeing her lose her ability to be that powerhouse that she had always been, and still the impact that she had on our families. But I've had this in my head for years, and I thought, that's a huge project. Like, this is something, I'm running a big company. I'm, you know, this is something I could not tackle on my own. Yeah. So I'm going to look into Capture Fully and see, I don't know, maybe that's a resource.
It is too big. And what we do is we partner with professionally trained storytellers, documentary filmmakers, writers, journalists that conduct these interviews, because it's hard for people to talk about themselves at any level of depth. Not everybody, but most people for sure. And it's also hard for the children sometimes if they're not professional at this. Yeah. So we have professional storytellers to kind of extract the story from people. But there are two things that are commonly said to us when they hear the premise of the product. One is what you just said, which is, you know, oh, I've always wanted to do something like that. I was going to write a book or a screenplay, or I wanted to make a thing. And it's just really hard to do because we don't have time. And when you don't know how to do something, this is back to kind of our initial, you know, conversation. Often it shows itself in inaction, right? In doing nothing, because we're like, I don't know what to do first. I don't even know how to start this. So you never do. And then 3 years pass and 7 years pass, et cetera, et cetera. And the most popular thing that we hear with this concept is, oh, that's such a great idea. I wish I had that 6 months ago, hands down. So that's the problem we're trying to solve. And we do it differently. There are many different companies. There's books that do this. There's like little deck of cards where you can ask questions back and forth. And those are great. I support anybody capturing this. You don't need to work with us necessarily. Grab your phone, interview your mom or your dad or your grandparents today. But what we do differently is we have professionally trained storytellers that create films, movies out of your family's life, right? We incorporate video and photos from your life, and we make it a film, not just the interview. And it's incredibly powerful.
Ah, okay. I'm excited. I already have the title, Moving Mama Pileggi. Right? I got it all. But you know what? That just goes back to, yes, this story would be significant to me and my family, but also the lessons throughout the story are universally significant. Yeah. So why not take the things that have happened in our journey, whether they were tragic, beautiful, whatever they, you know, a new milestone, whatever it might be, and convey that to those whom we could make a difference in their lives, and maybe endear them more to that next level journey that we have for them, whether we're a consultant or just maybe just have a book, whatever it might be. And so you talked earlier about kind of transcending upon the formula that most of us know if we're a speaker, or definitely if we're an author, the hero's journey, right? Can you speak a little bit more about how do you draw out those pieces that would help us connect with our audience? What is your journey to, we all have a million stories. How do we hone down on those that are going to connect with our audience?
Yes, that's a great question. You know, what we're really looking for are meaning. We're looking for meaning in the little moments of our lives or our professional journeys, right? So, you know, that's it. Not just anecdotes for story's sake, right? What's the real meaning? So there's always, for any story, there's the surface level, the plot, the events that happen, but then there's also the under the surface, the emotional story that happens. And that's what the story is always about, right? Rocky is not about a boxer competing for the world title, right? It's about a person finding their identity, finding confidence, falling in love, becoming who they thought they could be. They're always about that. That's why sometimes when we don't achieve the physical goal on the surface, we, the audience, can accept it if there has been some emotional change. So we're looking for moments where there's been a lesson learned or transformation has happened, where you have changed. There's meaning in these moments, and tiny moments have them all throughout our life. So when we think about, okay, yeah, I've got tons of stories to tell. Well, which one do I tell in this speech? Well, you simply reverse engineer it. Like anything you're building, you start with what your goal is. And so here's a formula for you. Okay. Formulas are not bad, but you want to use them, as you said earlier, as your starting point, and then put your own twist on it. That's all life is, right? Finding your twist to establish structures that work.
Your twist on established structures that work. Boom. That's a quote. We quote you. Right. This is going to be one of those quotes.
I've never said it like that before. I should have been rolling on this too. So let's say it again. Finding your twist on established structures that work. Was that it?
Yes.
And it's so true, right? I mean, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're trying to see what kind of wheel you build, right? It still has to roll. It still has to be round. It still has to be able to hold up the cart, right? Mm-hmm. But is yours going to have spikes coming out of the side of it like Chariots of Fire? Is yours going to have big tread so you can go off road, right? This metaphor is getting out of hand now, but you get what I'm saying. All right, let's get back to it. So, three-part structure on identifying what stories to tell when.
Okay.
What do you want the audience to do? What is the action you're trying to inspire, right? Because if you're giving a speech and you don't have that question answered, well, now we're in trouble, right? Because you are giving a speech for a purpose. It could be something as simple as buying your book, signing up for your course, downloading your lead magnet, whatever, whatever. But, or more focused on the audience. You want them to leave that presentation and go start an index fund if you're speaking about finances or something. That you want them to do that, right? So you start with the action. What action do you want them to take? Now, we know, and science backs this up, that people make decisions emotionally. They justify it logically, but they make decisions emotionally.
Yeah.
So you have to move them emotionally. What is the emotion that they need to feel to be motivated to take that action that you're trying to inspire them to take? Okay. What is it? Is it FOMO, the fear of missing out? Is it hope? Is it urgency? What do they need to feel to be like, okay, I'm going to go start that index fund, or I'm going to go buy your book. Then you reverse engineer one more time to the first step. What is a story or the story that would evoke said emotion that would inspire said action? Boom, boom, boom. 3, 2, 1.
So you've got your bank of stories, and it's not for the sake of just telling your story. It's the sake of helping to inspire the action in your audience. So you draw from your bank of stories that story that's going to help them get a deeper understanding so that they can somehow relate to it to get to that action that you wanted them to take.
Absolutely. Every great storyteller has an action they're trying to motivate, right? Even if it's just get a laugh because you're trying to flirt with the girl at the bar, right? There's always some. The storytellers that don't are the ones you're like, oh God, here he goes again, right? Because he's droning on and on and the story never finishes and there's no point, right? None of us like that feeling. So even a storytelling in a leisure or a social or a personal situation or scenario still has an action. You're either trying to bridge the gap between two parties, you know, at the networking event, or you're trying to make someone laugh and build connection. Or if you're telling a story on stage, I do competitive storytelling sometimes. Mm. Well, the action I'm trying to inspire is the judges to give me a high score so I can win. And then in business or brand storytelling, it's usually to convert sales.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is your story, even though it is your journey, the story actually needs to be about them, not necessarily about you sharing your fish tail of the big, you know, I don't know, fish you caught, right? So when you say the action you want to inspire, you are right in line with what I coach my speakers on, right? So I'm in the personal and professional development space. Heart-centered speakers are who I represent. And so, of course, the speaker wants to get on the stage, share their whole pot of pasta, pour it on everybody's heads. What do you do when you're full, right? That's like obviously the last way you want to leave your audience. Yeah. You want to give them just enough. And that micro transformation that you're talking about, that one action that they want to leave your presentation and feel equipped to take that one action that's going to really make a difference. And once they see that, they're like, wow, Rain was incredible. I just heard him for 45 minutes, have already see this change in my life. So how do I get more? I'm going to look at his podcast. I'm going to see what else he has to offer. Absolutely. That's the power of a story done right. And a story chosen right. It's kind of a synchrony of things symphony, that have to happen.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. Absolutely. Discovering the story is just as important as delivering it. Absolutely. You need both. You can tell a great story. If it's not the right story, it's irrelevant.
Okay. So you have done over 1,000 interviews, probably and counting.
I would say that's a conservative estimate. It's been 20 years, so yeah. But I added it all up recently when we launched Capture Fully, because that's everything hinges on our ability to interview people, right?
Right. Yeah. So obviously, you have some teeth behind what connects, what doesn't connect, right? Every time we present or talk, we're collecting data. We're seeing what people are leaning into, what we enjoy actually sharing, and what really does seem to move the needle with regards to that action. So what are maybe your three key lessons in those 1,000 plus interviews that you do differently now than you did when you first started out?
That's a great question. There's a few things. I actually did a LinkedIn post about this recently. So if anyone wants to hear more, because I listed maybe five things. The first and foremost tip is to find the way to connect with that person. Each person is different. You have over-talkers. You have under-talkers. You have people that are a little silly. You have war veterans, right? I don't know who you might be interviewing or talking to, but this is the same for speakers with an audience of 500 people or five people. You have a persona in the audience. So understanding what opens them up, because we have to get this. We can't have this. Someone's arms crossed and they're, you know, metaphorically or literally, and they're just not open. To get the goods out of somebody, everybody has a crust, right? An outer shell. And some people, looking at you, baby boomers, it's really hard to penetrate that crust, but you can. You just got to pick away at it. And when you do, all the gooey emotional stuff comes pouring out, and that is where the gold is, my friend. So you have to go through that process, no matter who your audience is how do I get to the gold? How do I get them to open up and be vulnerable, right? So finding what makes them connect. Sometimes you got to ramp up the comedy a little bit, tell a little joke or so. Levity goes a long way. So that's the first thing, is finding the point of connection. Oh, are they a military person, which we've already mentioned? Cool. Let's talk that kind of language. I'm from the South. Whenever I meet someone from the South, that's an easy one. I'm like, oh, where are you from? You're from Georgia. I'm from North Carolina. Oh my gosh, we're practically family. You know, I'm Italian too, right? Oh my gosh. You know, what's your favorite dish? I mean, so you're right. You got to find the point of empathy. Quick side note. I'm sorry. But one of my students, I guess we'll call them, we call them story guides or professional storytellers, but I'm training them. And one of them was asking, like, she's younger, and she's like, well, if I haven't had that experience, how do I do what you've done? I was telling somebody who, because I lived in New York for a little while and they were from New York. I'm like, oh, I lived in Queens for a little while because I found a little point of connection. Mm-hmm. And her question was specifically about that, but also in the bigger macro issue, like if I don't have those life experiences, how do I find the ways to connect? And I told her, I was like, I didn't know she was going to say she was from Queens. You just have to look for the opportunities of connection, right? That one just got dealt to me. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten really good at understanding, like, oh, that person's an athlete. I grew up an athlete. You got to find those points of connection that start to disarm them. Everybody comes in armed up. Even at a speech at a conference, I want to get to lunch. Who is this guy? What does he have to say? I don't care about this. I just am doing this because my boss sent me. We all come in armored up, and your job as the storyteller is to disarm them. Okay, that's enough for point number one, but it's a huge one.
Yes.
Okay. Two, I would say you have to be comfortable and flexible. You're the professional here. So they may take you somewhere that you don't necessarily want to go, and you got to be able to ride that for a little while and be flexible. You also have to be in control of that as a moderator and bring them back if it kind of gets out of hand. You're not sure where things were going to go if you're on stage, it's live. And anytime it's live, you got to be able to roll the punches. So you have to be comfortable in your own skin and in the awkwardness. Here's a very specific example. Sometimes you ask somebody a question and they don't immediately respond. And a younger interviewer or storyteller or speaker would fill in that awkward silence really quickly because we want to save them. Mm-hmm. But when you get really good, you realize, like, no, I asked my question. Now I'm going to sit here in this silence and I'm going to just watch them. And they'll think what's going on is their gears are turning. That's what you want. Yeah. And you just let that happen. This is an example of being comfortable, being cool in the pocket and being flexible, right? And you don't have to throw them a lifeline. Or if somebody says something in a speech that you're not prepared for, you've got to be able to adjust to that. And the final point I think I would say is, and we've already hit on this, is you are the guide and you're trying to bring them on a journey. Oftentimes with speakers, anybody that's up there writing a book about themselves or talking about themselves, we all have egos. We all like ourselves a little bit, maybe a little bit too much sometimes. I am in this group. We wouldn't be doing public-facing work if we didn't, and that's a good thing. However, we are here to serve the people in the audience, the person in that chair. My job is to make them look better than they do, right? And if I'm a speaker on stage, my job is to make you better than you were before you walked in here. So it ain't about me. I am a vehicle. I am a vessel to deliver value to you. And you have to check your ego at the door and understand that you are only a servant. Now, you use the things that you love about your story and the things that inspire you and you, stories you love to tell and people love to hear as that vessel. So that's your job. And you're not doing it effectively unless you're impacting the person opposite of you. It's a dance and you're here. This is another one I'm just coming up with here. You ever watch Dancing with the Stars?
Yes.
They take regular people and they make them look amazing because the teacher, the professional dancer, is so good at their job. That's how that happens. It's not because they learn how to be a ballroom dancer in 2 weeks, right? It's because the teacher is that good. That's your job.
Okay.
I hope, are we
that
recording
was so
this?
Because
I am dropping gems here.
This was like so worth the high cost of the time, right? When somebody spends their precious, unrenewable resource, their time with us, we want to deliver big, and you just did that. There it is, right? In one beautiful golden bow. Oh, so gosh. One action. So you're talking. Not just to talk, you're talking to evoke an action. What do you want to inspire in them? Number one, I'm recapping, so stop me if I get anything out of bounds. Two, be comfortable and flexible. And what I hear in that, be a little bit vulnerable, right? We never want to talk from our open wounds. Talk from your scars, not your open wounds. And in a way that, again, is serving the audience, not serving your ego, yourself. Mm-hmm. Three, you are the guide and you're taking somebody on a journey. Boy, we are so on point together with your methodology. One thing that I tell my people that I represent, as a speaker agency is a talk is not a talk. It's not a if done right, a talk is the first step in a journey. And that sounds like your methodology, your mentality as well.
Yeah, completely aligned with that. Absolutely.
Another thing you said was that balance between getting their empathy, like getting them down, and then coming back up light. I think the heavier your topic, the more you got to really practice that humor piece. I don't think I'm naturally humorous, but I know in certain parts of my journey, my story that feels pretty heavy, that's where I've got to have those points where I bring them out, back up a little bit. Can you talk a little bit to that?
Absolutely. I think this is like, there's a concept in filmmaking, which I think is perfectly appropriate for this, for the question you're asking. You have to be entertaining first, then educating, and then inspiring.
Okay. Entertain, educate, inspire.
Yes. And the great stories do all three, right? So, but if you're not entertaining first, no one's going to listen. Now, entertaining does not mean, oh, I'm silly, I'm dancing, I'm acting ridiculous, right? Sometimes it could be, you can have that much fun with it, but that's not what I'm saying. But you have to be, like any movie, even if it's about a hard topic, you have to make them want to, you know, come back to it after they went off to pop the popcorn, or if it's a series after episode one or episode two. You have to be entertaining to do. Even Michael Moore said this, the documentary filmmaker that always made like controversial documentaries, was like, they're still going home with their spouse, their significant other that night, and they want to spend time together, right? Like, you can't have them so hopeless and frustrated and angry that they can't go have a nice night together. And despair does not inspire us, right? Hope does.
Ooh.
So you have
okay, another quote. Despair does not inspire us.
Right.
Hope does.
Yes. And so while we're talking about tough topics at times, and listen, whomever you're speaking to, folks in the audience, you may be talking about really dark and traumatic topics. But the way out of that darkness is not to think that there's nothing but darkness. It's to show them the little crack in the rocks up at the top, the little light coming through. That's what we're trying to do. Because now I think, oh, I'm not destined to die metaphorically or literally in this cave. There is a way out. Your job is to show them the way out. And so you have to leave them feeling motivated, inspired, and you do that with hope. You do that with the right entertainment and energy, right? It's not just, they don't have to be quote unquote happy, right? But you have to leave them hopeful. It has to have positivity in it. You have to be entertaining, or else they'll tune them out, because nobody wants to be held down and tortured for an hour and a half or a 30-minute speech or whatever. It doesn't feel good, and it doesn't make us want to go out there and tackle the world. The world is tough. The world is brutal. The only thing that keeps it together is hope.
These are key connection and inspiration principles, right? Nobody's going to take action unless they connect with the reason and they're inspired.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're not going to do anything because you've left them hopeless and in despair. Yeah. And what's the point of me
working?
You just
want ice cream and a nap by the time you're
you just want to give up. So you got it.
Okay. I know a good number in our audience is going to want to know, how the heck do they get to you, right? How do they get to the storytelling lab? How do they get to learning more about you? What are the best ways to get connected to you?
Absolutely. The two best ways at this point would be the Storytelling Lab podcast, the storytellinglabpodcast.com. We have had incredible, incredible guests. It's one of my life's work that I'm most proud of and grateful for. I've had very, very, very amazing guests on, all different kinds of guests. And this brings us back to the point that I think serves your audience very well. It's not just filmmakers, my background. It's not just writers or authors. It's not just Fortune 500 marketers. It's all of them. It's social media influencers. It's anybody that has to tell stories as part of their life, their livelihood, their passion, or their purpose. Mm-hmm. This is who we talk. So whatever you're trying to accomplish, or whoever you are, I promise you, not only do we have one episode for you, we have multiples. We have amazing guests. So that's where I would start. RainBennett.com is my website, and Rain Bennett, period, is pretty easy to find.
So Bennett is, for those who are listening and not catching us on video, it's Rain, like the rain,
yep.
And Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, two N's, yep. Two T's, right?
Two N's, two T's, Rain with one N. And I recently, now it's been a couple of years, but my latest book is called 6 Second Stories. And it's all about how to maximize your time, maximize your impact in minimal time. So back to that concept we talked about earlier about when you don't have a lot of resources, you don't have a lot of money, how can you take your smartphone and create great stories? Have another one coming out soon, but it's very early stages for that.
6 Second Stories. So we'll have to look that up. Okay. We're going to close with my signature question.
Okay.
So this is Speak Pact. And this is our pact together with each other and with our audience to get out there, get your voice out there, and make the greatest impact that you can. What is something very tangible and practical that you would challenge the Speak Pact audience to do that might really move the dial for them with regards to connecting with their audiences in a deeper way?
Yes. One of my favorite exercises to do with people is an exercise I call finding your unique intersections.
Finding your unique intersections.
Right. What we are trying to identify is how do you view your work differently than anyone else in your space? So you talk with a lot of speakers, right? And you said self-help or personal development style. Is that right?
Professional and personal development.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So let's say it's a financial coach. Would that be a typical
That speaker? Could be somebody.
Okay, yeah. Great. So let's just use that as an example. How do you approach financial health differently than anyone else in the space, than Dave Ramsey or Ramit Sethi? Like, what is your take on it? Ramit Sethi is a great example because his take is directly influenced by his lived experience. He's different than other people. You should be too. This exercise will help you do that, the finding your unique intersections, because you undoubtedly have a unique perspective on the work that you do. It's there. I promise you. Why? Because you are a unique person with a unique story. If you can't identify that, that's the problem we're trying to solve with this exercise. This is the first step. It's a three-part Venn diagram. If you remember that from school, it's the circles that overlap each other, and there's a little space where they overlap, and that's what we're looking for. The first circle is your skills. Don't list one or two. Everything that you're good at, right, or have been good at. Writing. I'm listing mine. Writing, soccer, landscaping, anything and everything. It doesn't have to be related to what you do for work. Anything that you've been good at. Second circle, passions. What lights your heart on fire? What you love, right? This does not have to be something you are good at, although there will be overlap in the Venn diagram, right? So I love NFL football. I am not good at it, right? That's an example of one that might be different. Now, that's not new. We've heard this before with other thought leaders. What are you better than anyone else in the world at? And what do you love so much you could do it every day for the rest of your life, right? That's not unique to me. The third part, I believe, is, and it is absolutely the part that separates you from anybody else. And this third circle at the bottom of the three-part Venn diagram is your experiences. Where you come from, who you come from, what unique communities you belong to. All of these things, my friends, are what have shaped the way you view the world. And it's through that, and where all three of these intersect, right, we're back there, that you will see a handful of things. You won't use all of these things that are in all three categories, but you'll start to see the picture reveal itself like a puzzle that's starting to finally show the shape or the image that you're trying to build. You'll start to understand, oh, okay, well, this is how I view the world. And so that probably has influenced the way I view the work that I do in the world. Because I come from a blue-collar family on the coast of North Carolina, and my father was an alcoholic. In fact, I come from a long line of alcoholics, and I was an athlete, and I love music, and yada, yada, yada. And I've been writing stories since I was actually 6 years old. And I got away from it once I got into sports, but I've always loved writing stories. This is mine, right? Like when I start revealing that, then I start understand I've always been a storyteller. I've always been a writer. I've always loved what I do. So it's not a mistake that I landed here at all. And it's the same with you. And I hear you people that are listening that you think, oh, well, I work at the bank and I didn't really envision doing that when I was a kid. Listen, it's not about that. It's how you show up at the bank, unlike anybody else there behind the glass. That's what we're trying to identify, right?
Yes.
Who are you trying to help working at the bank? Are you at the bank because you didn't have financial literacy growing up? Because you grew up in Eastern North Carolina like I did in a poor rural community? Yeah, I bet you didn't think about that. Now you understand that's why you were attracted to the financial industry, because you want to have some control over that part of your life. I'm preaching here. Are y'all listening? Okay.
Taking a break. Okay, so much. I hope you guys had your pens out, because there it was right there. Oh, if you want to connect, re-listen and get your pen handy. That was a lot of pure brilliance. Yes, thank you, Rain. And catch more at the Storytelling Lab. You'll get addicted, as I have. Very high level. You bring high level concepts down to doable steps. And that's something that I really love. Yeah. So thank you for sharing your unrenewable resource with us and with me and my audience today. It's been such a valuable time. And audience, I know you got value out of this episode, especially if you're still with us at this point. Make sure to give us some flowers with a thumbs up, a five-star like, whatever. Definitely go start subscribing and following Rain's podcast and LinkedIn. I don't know. Are you on Instagram?
Yeah, I'm everywhere.
Instagram, all the things. That's the way that you can fuel us continuing to pour into your career. All of those different ways. That's your thank you to us. And for now, we are going to say ciao, ciao.
Thank you for listening to the Speak Pact podcast. To become a recommended speaker of Antoniette's WPC Speaker Agency, or you are a host or planner looking for a dynamic expert in optimized performance, Antoniette would like to personally meet with you. Secure a time with her at speakerbooker.com. Again, that is speakerbooker.com. It all begins with a vision, a voice, and a pact to impact. Join the Speak Pact movement by joining our new private Facebook group at the link in our show notes. Find us on nearly every social media platform at One Antoniette. That's number one, Antoniette, or simply hashtag Speak Pact.